going to read that passage again from Isaiah 40 in the translation called The Voice. Don't you know, haven't you heard? The eternal, the everlasting God, the creator of the whole world, never gets tired or weary. His wisdom is beyond understanding. God gives strength. He strengthens the weary and gives vitality to those worn down by age and care. Young people will get tired. Strapping young men will stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Eternal One will regain their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run, never winded, never weary. They will walk, never tired, never faint. A couple of quotes. There is an eagle in me that wants to soar, and there is a hippopotamus in me that wants to wallow in the mud. Carl Sandburg said that. Jen Stevens said this: if we never had the courage to take a leap of faith, we'd be cheating God out of a chance to mount us up with wings like eagles and watch us soar. And then Winston Churchill said, when the eagles are silent, the parrots begin to jabber. There's a context for this passage of Scripture. Israel had just come out of captivity by the Babylonians for 70 years. They were released and they came back to Jerusalem. The culture is a mess. Everything about what was going on for these people was in a mess. And they come back to rebuild. Now, when you rebuild something, anybody here rebuilt something? It takes twice as long as you think. It costs three times as much as you thought. It is extremely difficult to rebuild. Building is important enough, and that costs twice as much. But when you rebuild something, there's so much work involved in it. Is that true? What about rebuilding a culture? Huge, huge task. Huge job. And you get weary. You know, halfway through something, you get really tired. And there's a tendency to want to give up. And this was what God said to these people. He said, when you hope in me, when you trust in me, when you let me take you through the wind of adversity and storms, you'll rise up like an eagle. You just watch, you'll soar. And I think that what happens for us, and this is one of the reasons why I want to kind of continue this theme for a little bit for us, is that we can get weary, bone tired, not just physically, you can sleep that off, but we get weary and bone tired in ministry and the length of time, and we get worn down. True? You know, it just gets tired. We get tired. And this passage of Scripture is so important for us today. This is a prophetic word of encouragement. This passage of Scripture has been used over the centuries to encourage God's people to fly and rise again. I believe it's time for us to rise again. God compared these people to eagles, essentially. So, eagles, just if you weren't around last week, just a brief little thing about eagles. Eagles are mentioned 34 times in the Scriptures. I didn't mention this last week, but 10% of the countries of the world use the eagle as their emblem. It's a huge, huge part of our thinking. But anyway, an eagle has a mass of about 6 kilograms. It's a big bird. It has a lifespan of about 20 to 30 years in the wild and up to 70 years in captivity. There's a wingspan of about 2 meters. Some will grow as much as 3 meters in wingspan. That is a big bird. And we're talking about the golden eagle or the bald eagle when we talk about it. There's a couple of others, a sea eagle as well. They're huge birds. Huge. They can see up to 7 kilometers. They can see even in the dark. They have five times the perfect vision of a human. So it's no wonder that people have used the eagle, and God has chosen to use the eagle as a kind of a symbol of strength and nobility and majesty. And you know, when you see an eagle, bit of difference than the turkeys. I don't know if we saw the first slide, but there's turkeys there. So I wanted to just tell you a story that was a vision by a man called Peter Lord. And I can't quote it. I'm not good enough for that, but I'll read it if you'll permit me to do that. In his vision, Peter saw some eagles nesting high up in a tree. There was a dad eagle, a mum eagle, and two baby eagles, eaglets. Peter then went on to describe some of the characteristics of eagles. They're beautiful flying birds. They love to fly soaring high in the sky for hours at a time. They were made for flight. They're also birds of prey. They're meat eaters, hunting, killing, and devouring, as opposed to other birds, like turkeys, that are primarily grain feeders and bug eaters on the ground. Meat eaters look down on grain eaters. Real men eat beef. The idea being conveyed that eagles are tough, strong, and totally cool birds. One day, Mum and Dad Eagle went out to cruise. Eagles love to cruise the skies. A while gone, a strong wind came and knocked the two eaglets to the ground in the midst of the forest. Stunned, scared, and confused, they walked the woods trying and calling for Mum and Dad. And they soon wandered far from the tree and the nest in which they were being raised. They were at this time too young to have learned to fly, but it was hardwired into them and into their genetic coding. They were creatures of the air, and they were meant to eat meat, fresh meat. And soon they were very lost in the woods. Mum and Dad searched and searched, but never found their children. As the eaglets wandered in the woods that day, other creatures were wandering also. One was a hen turkey that had never had any children, though she greatly wanted them. And as the hen went foraging for grubs and bugs that day, she heard off in the distance the two eaglets crying for Mum. And she headed in the direction of the eaglets, and before long found them cowering underneath a bush. "Children, come out from there," she called to them. "What's the problem? Where are your parents?" "We don't know. We're lost." "Well, let's see what we can do about that." For a few hours, they searched the forest in vain, looking for the eaglet's nest and family. And at the end of a wearisome day, the hen turkey told the eaglets that they could come and live with her and that she would take care of them. She wanted kids. They wanted a mama. Perfect match. Things went well for a while, but the eaglets never fully fit in with the turkeys they were being raised with. For if you are a turkey, you raise your children to be turkeys. One of the two eaglets, we'll call him Tom, had an especially difficult time adjusting to life as a turkey. For one thing, he was no longer getting fresh meat from his parents, but was out scratching and digging for worms and grubs and eating seeds and grains. And every now and then he'd see a rabbit in the woods, and for some reason unknown to him, he would start salivating. Once when he saw a rabbit, he said to his brother Jerome, "Hey Jerome, let's go kill and eat that rabbit." "What are you talking about?" said Jerome. "We're turkeys. We don't eat rabbits. We eat worms and bugs and grubs and grain. But rabbit? We don't never eat rabbit." So Tom put the idea over his head for a moment, but it just seemed to keep coming back and coming back. One day on a spring morning, the turkeys were all out in a cow pasture, sifting through the cow pies for seeds. It seems cows can't digest seeds, and they're an especially delicacy to the turkey. So Tom had his beak all covered in dung, and he looked over and saw his brother was as covered with mess as he was, and he turned to his brother and said, "Jerome, something just doesn't seem right. There's a message in there somewhere." "What are you talking about, Tom?" "Well, Jerome, it just doesn't seem right, sticking our head down in these cow pies hunting for food. I felt like eating the cow, never mind these paddy seeds." "Cut it out, Tom. We're turkeys. This is what turkeys eat. I am a turkey, you are a turkey, our mother is a turkey, our father is a turkey, our cousins are turkeys, everybody we know are turkeys. Just cut it out, Tom. They had been adopted at such an early age, they'd forgotten about their true parents. I don't know, Jerome, I just can't eat this stuff anymore. Besides that, I want to fly. Now, what are you talking about, Tom? We fly all the time. Well, turkeys fly by constantly flapping their wings, and they usually fly only for a short length of time, while eagles, by adjusting their wingtips, can soar for hours, and they love it. No, I don't want to fly. I want to really fly high above all the trees. I want to soar in the clouds. There you go again, Tom. You know turkeys don't soar. What is all this dreaming in your head? How many times do I have to tell you, I'm a turkey, you're a turkey, our mother is a turkey, our father is a turkey, our cousins are turkeys, everybody we know are turkeys. Just cut it out, Tom. With that, Tom took off for a walk in the woods. Deep inside, a great struggle was going on between what God had made him to be and the way he was living. As he walked in the woods that day, he went weeping. And who do you think he happened upon as he walked that day? That's right, a wise old owl, who saw Tom weeping and asked him what was wrong. And Tom told him he wanted to soar in the clouds and eat some fresh meat. And the wise old owl then asked him, well, why don't you just go and do it? Tom looked at him with a look as if to say, how can you be so dumb to ask such a question? Then he said to the owl, I'm a turkey. My mother is a turkey, my father is a turkey, my cousins are turkeys, everybody I know are turkeys, and everybody knows turkeys don't soar, and turkeys don't eat rabbits and things like that. You are not a turkey, you are an eagle, said the wise old owl. What are you talking about, said Tom, with stunned expression, then added, I'm a turkey, my mother is a turkey, my father is a turkey, my cousins are turkeys. Everybody I know are turkeys, so don't try to get my hopes up with such foolish talk. Young men I have seen in these woods, young men I should say, I've been in these woods a very long time, and I know an eagle when I see one. Haven't you ever noticed you look and feel different from all the others? Yeah, I've thought about that many times, but every time I bring it up to my brother who happens to look just like me, he says, I am a turkey. You are a turkey. Our mother is a turkey. Our father is a turkey. Our cousins are turkeys. Everyone we know are turkeys. So just cut it out, Tom. Believe me, young man, you are not a turkey, but an eagle. Have you ever tried to soar or eat rabbit? Why should I? I'm a turkey. My mother is a turkey. My father is a turkey. My cousins are turkeys. Everybody I know is a turkey. And everyone knows turkeys don't do such things. Would it try to hurt? I see by your tears it's hurting you terribly not to try. I don't think there would be any harm in it. It just seems like it would be a waste of time to try. Go ahead, give it a shot. What have you got to lose? Nothing much, I guess. Okay, I'll give it a try. With that, for the first time in his life, Tom took off for the sky, attempted to see how far he could go. He climbed higher and higher. The higher he got, the happier he got. This is cool, he thought to himself, as he finally began to be what God had called him to be. He suddenly became aware of another talent that had laid dormant in his life. He had phenomenal vision. He could see the littlest details, even though he was so high up. And one of the things he saw was a field mouse moving through the grass. It wasn't exactly a rabbit, but he thought it might be a good start. He quickly swooped down, rejoicing as he felt the wind flowing past his body, the tension of the hunt, and the excitement of a fresh meal. Quickly he killed and ate the mouse, and he thought it was the best thing he had ever eaten in his life. I'll never stick my beak in a cow pie again, he thought, as he relished every morsel of his fresh kill. Finally, Tom was living like he always felt he was meant to live. Finally, Tom was living the way God intended for him to live. Imagine being an eagle and living like a turkey. Some of you are getting this now. I know you're getting it. You got it right in the beginning, actually, because you're smart. As he finished his meal, he thought of his brother and he said to himself, I'm an eagle, so is Jerome. So he flew back to his brother and tried to convince him that he was an eagle. But all he ever got over his brother was, I'm a turkey. My mother is a turkey. My father is a turkey. My cousins are turkeys. Everybody I know are turkeys. Cut it out, Tom. Dismayed at his inability to change his brother's mind, he at last bid him goodbye and started out for his grand adventure. For there's no greater joy than an eagle who lives like a turkey, but finally finds out the truth and begins to live the way God intended them to. It's a message there for us. Who are you? And who am I? That's really the message of today. We have to know who we are. We have to understand that God has hardwired us in a certain way. We are wired to soar like eagles, not to stick our beaks in cow pies all our life. And yet the way many people who are Christ followers live is they've got an awful lot of stuff around their face. You know what I mean? Not a good place to be feeling. We're like the eagles. We're being raised as turkeys, yet we have a longing to be more than turkeys, hunting and pecking in this life. We long to soar, to be greater, to be on an assignment from heaven. We long to be that. There's a calling within us. We feel it. We know it. We sense it. It's there. And yet so often we feel like we're just like a chicken or a turkey. God made you to be like an eagle. The enemy wants you to think like a turkey, foraging in cow pies. Something just doesn't seem right, Jerome. Never felt like that. Something just doesn't seem right. Have you ever felt like that? Take the advice of the wise old owl. Go for it. Move out. Reach out. Spread your wings and fly. Now, the dictionary definition of soaring is to travel great distances at a higher level, to continually move onward and upward, to rise to majestic stature. There's a sermon or two in there. You've got to think like an eagle. You know, it says in Romans 12:2, this is the Phillips translation, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to discern what is the will, the perfect will of God. So to begin to soar like an eagle, you have to start thinking like an eagle thinks. Differently. Be transformed. It's in the way we think about ourselves and the way we think about God will be the difference if we're going to be those who actually are the hope of the world. True?
Yes.
Eagle thinking people. I've recently read in a book that everybody should read. It's From Wydale to the World. Fascinating story about some of the people in our midst here. Some people who had eagle thinking, right from the word go. Eagle thinking. Entrepreneurs. Eagle thinking people are entrepreneur people. They go where no one else has gone pretty well. And they stay focused on the task. They take responsibility for their dream. And certainly the Wydale Trust, those two men in the beginning, were eagle thinking people. Eagle thinking people dream of what can be and go after it. There's a stirring within them that they can't quite get a hold of sometimes, but they go after it just the same. No one else around them. You see, eagles are solitary birds. The only other person, eagle, that they fly with is their mate. Eagle thinking people are functioning at a higher level than turkey thinking people. Now, God has a purpose for turkeys. They're amazing birds. 64 million of them sacrifice their life for Thanksgiving Day in America every year. They taste good. I've never tasted an eagle. Eagle thinking people eat what eagles eat. They feed on living stuff. Turkeys pick up stuff off the ground. They got their face covered in cow pie. Eagle people are excited about new ministry possibilities. They're always looking out there. Always. Eagle thinking people see the obstacles and fly above them, or through them, or around them, or under them. When has the church, if it was to stay as it is, would be just ground into nothing, would disappear, but eagle thinking people, God's people, they look at an obstacle and say, how can we get around this? How can we get over this? Do we need to just go through it? Can we go under it? But it's an obstacle. Get out of the way. What are the obstacles that face us as a parish? Get out of the way. If we're to think like eagles. Eagle thinking people love storms and bad weather. Stuff that comes at them. They allow the force of the wind, as Jim reminded us. They just stand there and they allow the force of the wind to rise them above the storm. That's what eagles do. They go into the storm. Everybody else ducks for cover. When the winds of adversity come our way, what do? Personally in our lives and in our life as a parish, what do? Do we duck for cover? Or do we spread our wings and say, we're going to rise above this? Without effort. The stronger the storm, the higher they go. Eagle people seek out mental stimulation. They are thinking people. They don't just stay stuck in the past. They're stimulated by that which God raises and gives them more and more and more and more. Eagle thinking people seek out people who think like them and are traveling in the same direction and want to be mentored by them. Eagle thinking people are always looking for people that have gone further than they have and say, I want to go there, and are never content to stay put. Eagle thinking people have an incredible vision for their lives. When an eagle looks onto the target, they go after it. Nothing will dissuade them. Nothing. Eagle thinking people see things that non-eagle thinking people don't. You know what the scripture says in Proverbs 29, where there's no vision? The people perish or cast off restraint. Here's the thing. There has to be a change in our thinking if we want a change in our circumstance. If we keep on doing what we've always been doing, we're going to get what we've always got. If we keep on doing the same old thing, we're going to get the same old thing. Isn't there something that stirs within you, stirs within me, that says, something's just not right here, Jerome. Doesn't feel good here. There's just something not right. When I think of someone who is soaring like an eagle in their faith, I think of a person whose life is marked by abiding grace and peace. It's there with them. There's something within their life that soars that way. They're completely dependent on God to lift them when they're down, no matter what comes their way. By the way, I need to say this too, that personal renewal always comes before corporate renewal. We're looking for revival. There will only be revival amongst us and in our community again. I was reminded, just a brief little comment in that book, Wide Out to the World, about revival that happened here in the valley, in this area. And it happened because someone was personally renewed. And then they told their story. And it was compelling. It was compelling. It's full of life. You see, many of us get airborne for a time, but our trajectory is not always onward and upward. True? We're up, then we're down, we're riding on the wings of faith 1 minute and then grounded by uncertainty and stuff that comes our way the next. We're flapping our wings but kind of going nowhere. A lot of activity, a lot of motion, but nothing, we're not going upward. So the question that begs an answer is this. If God intends for us to soar like eagles, why aren't more of us soaring? I'd like to suggest about three things that I could think of in this past week that keep us grounded. Number one, our past. No question that for good or bad, we're shaped by our past. All the good things that happened to us, all the bad things that happened to us, all the stuff we went through, the family we were born in, all of these things, for good and for bad, has shaped us. We don't get to choose our family or our parents or our circumstances that we were born into. We didn't get a say about that. How we grew up, how we interacted with family, who we hung around with, the choices we made years ago, they can still have a profound effect thinking. And God willing, I'll be talking a little bit more about that next week. How we react, how we respond to threats, how we relate to our world is shaped by the family and the culture in which we were brought up in. And if we're brought up in a turkey culture and we're how do you get out of that? You've got to leave the past. I hear, and I'm guilty of it, please, I do not stand over you in this. But we dream of the stories of the past, when God was vital to us, and the songs we sang in the past, and the things we experienced of God in the past. And we live in those now, but this is now. This is now. It's a fresh day, it's a new day. We've got to soar now, not way back then. So the past. The nest was a safe place for an eagle to be born in, built by an eagle for its kids. But the same eagle also stirs up the nest and kicks that eaglet out of the nest. Be thinking a little bit more about that next week. We're shaped by the people and culture we admire and desire. But we cannot soar with confidence, with peace, with an ongoing upward trajectory to be world changers if we stay in the past. Even though the past was good, the future is better. Another thing. Shame. Words of guilt and shame are often used interchangeably, but they're very different. Guilt whispers that what we've done is bad and we feel guilty about it. Shame shouts that we are bad. We stop soaring because of shame so often, because what we believe we are. Eagles. The core of shame is the warped belief that we're defective, flawed, unworthy, unacceptable, and we keep repeating those words over and over, like an MP3 in our brain. We're sinners, yes, but God says that we're also those who are His holy ones, the apple of His eye, destined to fly. I believe that we'll never truly get close to God, we'll never experience the depth of His peace, we'll never soar like an eagle if we live constantly in shame, taking upon ourselves who the enemy tells us we are. Fear. Fear. Studies have shown that the three most common fears people have are the fear of flying, the fear of public speaking, and I'm pushing through one of those right at the moment, and the fear of heights. But none of these phobias will send us into a spiritual tailspin, I believe, like the fear of failure. The fear of failure will keep us grounded. We'll never start anything if we believe we're going to fail. True? I love talking to Hamish Gardine. He inspires me. He and Kay are eagle-thinking people. But they're also very wise. Fear of failure is not in their thinking. They just go for it in business. Here's another one, the fear of rejection. People reject us. If we talk to them about the greatest thing that's ever come into our life, they're going to reject us. Are you sure about that? Fear. You know the acrostic for fear, don't you? Anybody tell me what it is? False.
Evidence.
Appearing real. Here's another one. Fear of intimacy. A fear of intimacy. Oh boy. God wants us to be intimate with Him. I take you all through the scriptures that I know of the intimacy of Abba. It calls us. We're called into a relationship that is unique. So we've all been created with this ability to soar like an eagle. So if we're not soaring, we need to ask ourselves, what's keeping us grounded? What is it that keeps us from this? If it's not our past or our shame or our fear, perhaps it's our business. Our pride, unforgiveness. You know, this unforgiveness thing, God will not let me leave this alone when it comes to talking to us in this parish, unforgiveness. It's still there. It's keeping us on the ground. We've got lead in our feet. Thick feathers there. We need to pluck some of those babies out if you were here last week. To get rid of those. Other people's opinions. Oh, man, that'll keep us grounded. What other people will think? Who cares what other... Do you know that an eagle, it doesn't even come into their thinking what other eagles think. It's only turkeys that think that way. Really? Only turkeys that think that way. What about unconfessed sin? The burdens the enemy places on us come in many different forms, unique to us. Different for you, different for me. But they'll keep us grounded. The enemy's ultimate goal is the same, whatever it is, to keep us from soaring like eagles. The enemy has done an unbelievable job on the Church of Jesus Christ. It causes us to think that we're turkeys when we're designed as eagles. I believe that. Do you believe that?
Yes.
The good news is this. We have a God who is more powerful He promises to share His strength with us. The cool thing about this message on eagles is that we don't have to be strong in ourselves. It's His strength in us. It's God in us. God in us, the hope of glory. We know we're weak as water. We know that. We know that we can't fly all by ourselves. You try it. But with God, you can. So that's why I'm hopeful for us. I'm excited for us. So don't be burdened for one more day. Don't stay grounded. Don't go around with a lot of that excrement on your face. Go for the fresh stuff. Real Southlanders eat meat. Yes, they do. To join me as we pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's living and vital and cuts right through into our very core and reveals to us who we are and reveals to us who Jesus is in us. Lord, I pray for my sisters and brothers here today that for all of us, Lord, we will recognize that we really do need to live outside of the turkey farm. Lord, that we need to fly high, soar like eagles.
Yes,
you've called us to it, Lord. It's hardwired in us.
Yes.
We know there's something very unsettling because we feel it, we know it, we sense it. So help us to fly, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've spoken a little bit longer than I intended. And time is going on, so we won't keep us. But just like to release us this morning. Now we won't sing another song, but it's okay. Where do we want to go with this? You know, if the Lord has been speaking to you and to me, certainly working on me this past week, I know that. But where do we go with this? Is this some action required from us? If we just stay as we have been, even before we came in today, we're going to stay like that today and tomorrow, the next day and the next day. So where do we go from here? This is stuff that's holding us down that we need to be released from. I believe there is, if we're still there. If we're not, wonderful. Let's fly together. But I'd like to pray a prayer of release over us as we finish today. Lord, thank you for the wonderful heritage of this community and this parish. Lord, in the past you have worked in mighty ways amongst us. But Lord, there's also been some things in the past that have hurt us, things we've held on to. Lord, I pray right now that there would be a releasing of past hurts, past failures, past sins. And folks, in these few moments, just been quiet for so long. Blood of Jesus, we receive your cleansing, your forgiveness, your peace and your joy, so that we might rise again. Amen. Amen. this week, I encourage you to go out there and whatever you're doing, whatever enterprise it is, whatever the business side of things are, the might be small things, might be big things, but to recognize and realize that you're created for more. God wants you to work out. We're always around if we can pray with you and be of an encouragement. Absolutely awesome.